Yeah, welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Chipper, how are you?
Chipper as well. Michelle, good morning. How are you doing?
Not as chipper, but maybe when the coffee kicks in about 45 minutes, a little bit more chipper.
It'll take that long?
Wow. Listen, I swear that coffee doesn't work on me anymore because I just drink so much of it. I've become very tolerant.
I know the feeling.
There you go. Joe, how much experience do you have kicking extra points?
Oh, my goodness. I have made some extra points in my life. It was from like the 2 yard line, but
with a cig in your mouth.
I don't think I did that with a cig in my mouth, but man, that was getting weird last night.
I think it passed weird. 4 missed extra points last night. It's a good thing it didn't come down to that at all for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get into that game specifically and what it could mean for the future of Tom Brady coming up here in just a few minutes on the show. But we begin with the Nashville Predators last night. They win 2-1 against the Calgary Flames, a game where, quite frankly, Joe, I think heading into it, they probably needed to have it last night just based on the standings and where things are sitting right now. We talked about it yesterday. Calgary's in the wild card spot. At the time that we were doing the show yesterday, they were 7 points up on the Predators, and the Predators get an important 2 points last night. They win 2-1, 2 goals in the first period, one by Roman Josi and the second by Juuso Parsonen. And really after that, the Predators had some good looks. I thought played well through the first couple of periods, not as well in the third period, took some penalties, and it looked like Calgary had tied the game. But Tyler Toffoli, a kicking motion with the puck, and the Predators hold on with a 2-1 win last night. What did you think of the Preds last night?
Yeah, well, much needed win, and they actually had some really good opportunities that it could have been a much more comfortable game. Really good first period, I thought, you know, exactly what they needed. And then, of course, you know, Calgary's desperate in that third period. And it's funny because I know this was on my mind because I've been writing something about Saros. Did anyone even mention Saros post game, like Hines post game? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think it was brought up because it's like, yeah, 38 saves, you know, ridiculous 4-on-3, and he's just all over the place, you know, just somehow, you know, stopping every one of those pucks, you know. I mean, he's obviously the key to the whole thing, and he was great again. But I think also it was an encouraging performance in some ways, and they just badly needed the wins. So now they gotta get back towards stacking the wins.
Yeah, I thought they came out really strong in the game. I thought their first period was very good, and you know they controlled the play. I thought they had a couple of really good looks in the first part of the first period, and even in the third period, they took some bad penalties, like the Cole Smith penalty. When you're 200 feet away from your own net, you can't take a tripping penalty in the offensive zone behind the net. I mean, it was just a brutal penalty that you cannot take. And then right after that, Tanner Janot compounds it by sending the puck over the glass, and you're thinking, my goodness, they've got a minute and 40 seconds of a 5-on-3 power play they're going to have to kill off. And then luckily, Rasmus Anderson of the Flames high-stick someone, and all of a sudden that was nullified into a 4-on-3. But I thought beyond the penalties – that they took in the third period. You know, they had some good looks. I mean, I don't know what happened down there towards the end of the third period where there was like a play with Johansson and Duchesne, and Markstrom got taken out of the net, and then Forsberg had the wide open net and put it off the side of the post. I mean, it was wild there at the end of the game. But the Predators, I thought the jump was good last night. And in the first period, you get the penalty kill. Colton Sissons leads the rush kind of down that side of the ice in transition. And Juuso Parsonen comes in and finishes it off. And he's got points in 7 games in a row. And he tied Philip Forsberg last night, his rookie record, for a point streak by a Predators rookie. So anytime you're in a conversation with Philip Forsberg, you're doing something right as a rookie. And John Hines spoke last night about the play of Juuso Parsonen and Cody Glass, both of which I thought were really good last night, and you can see the confidence that they're playing with. And I asked John Hines about that after the game last night. Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say.
Those two specifically, how much has confidence do you think allowed them to have some of their skill come out on a more consistent basis?
You know, it's a funny thing, Robbie, when you talk about confidence. Like they've earned it. I mean, they've been really consistent in their play. I think they're bringing their attributes. They're playing pretty well on both sides of the puck, and I think that they're thriving in the roles. You know, they're earning the opportunities they get. You know, we've stayed pretty consistent with them of giving them the opportunities to be able to play. And sometimes they might have an off night, but the thing that's been really encouraging with the two of them is that usually if there's an off night or you see something in their game that needs to be a little bit better, their self-assessment is really good. They accept coaching well, and it doesn't linger. And that's encouraging to see with both of them.
So that was John Hines after the game last night. Obviously, I mean, the point total for Parsonen speaks for itself. You're on a 7-game point streak. So he's playing really well. I mean, I thought last night that he was really good once again. I know that Cody Glass did not technically get on the score sheet last night. I thought he was excellent.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he was excellent last night. And, you know, the first goal was him driving to the net and taking, by the way, a much bigger body with him in Nikita Zadorov. And Josi does a great job to kind of take a half step up on the one-timer and get the puck on the net. And it went off somebody in front. I don't know if it went off Cody Glass or not. They've not switched it to this point, so I guess it went off Zadorov. But Cody Glass is creating the goal there. And then, like, I think it was shortly after that, he made a play kind of along the wall where he and Philip Forsberg were together kind of on the rush, and he cut back to the inside, put the puck through his legs right on the tape to Forsberg, and you're like, man, that's a dude playing with some confidence. He made another one-touch pass kind of heading into the zone in the second period in the game that set up a good chance as well. I mean, I think Parsonen and Glass are playing really well right now for this team, and you talk about young forwards. I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking about Elli Tolvanen and the goal scoring that he's done, and deservedly so, and we've talked a lot about Philip Tomasino. I do think the more I watch them play, the more I think if you're Predators fans, you should be excited about what you're seeing from Juuso Parsonen and Cody Glass. I thought they were really good last night.
Yeah, no, I think they've got something in both of them, and you mentioned some of those Glass plays. He also just has some skating moments out there, you know, where, I mean, he's very skilled. He's skilled, he's crafty, and Parsonen makes some passes, you know. I mean, he's even, you know, last night, that didn't lead to anything, but just the way he sees the ice, you can kind of see that with him. He's also, I think, a really confident player, big, strong player. So I agree. I mean, I think those are two guys to build on for sure. And, they need that badly. You know, they need more good stories. Last year, you know, it was Tanner Jeannot, and he's still plugging away and hanging in there. But like you said, there's so much focus right now on Tolvanen and, you know, what he's doing in Seattle and what happened and all that stuff. But you can't miss that these two young forwards are impressing and are signaling that they could be key players. And, of course, the Glass thing is – everybody knows the story about making the team and all that, but you go back to what he was thought of as a prospect and then the injuries and everything. I mean, it's been there, you know. It's just a matter of can someone, like, you know, can he get healthy and can he get his confidence back? And it looks like that's definitely happening.
Yeah, it does. And I think those two, I do think when you look at the way that they play the game, like Cody Glass, they gave him an opportunity in the top six earlier this year. It didn't go well for a few games. And for whatever reason, he's kind of reset himself. And now, like, I just think the confidence is pretty clear. And that's freed him up offensively. Like, he's making plays where, I mean, he made two or three plays last night, Joe, where I was like, yep, that's why he was taken sixth overall in the draft. I mean, he can make plays like that. So if you can free that up a little bit and get some of those plays to come out a little bit more consistently offensively, I think you may have something there. And then Parsonen, you know, Hines made an interesting comparison to him last night, and I get what he's talking about because it's pretty similar when you think about it. But, you know, he talked about having Nico Hischier in New Jersey. And, yeah. Of course, that was the number one overall pick that he had in New Jersey. But he was talking about just physically, like the attributes that Hischier brings to the table, a bigger guy that's physically ready to play in the NHL at a young age. And was talking about that with Parsonen, too. And you got to keep in mind, like Parsonen, they found him late in the draft. If he turns into what it's looking like he could turn into, which I don't think is going to be like some superstar player or anything like that, but I think a really good, solid player for the Predators, that's a heck of a find in Juuso Parsonen. And right now, I mean, first off, the production speaks for itself, but secondly, the size, the speed, the vision, and the passing ability, I think as he continues to stick around in the league, he's got a chance to be pretty good.
60-point player?
I think he could be. Yeah, I think he absolutely could be, which, you know, I know is not Connor McDavid, but you'll take a 60-point player when you can find one. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the play of Cody Glass and Juuso Parsonen? Have the Predators found some young forwards to build on? And what did you think of the Preds' win last night against Calgary? We'll have more on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Preds win last night 2-1 against the Calgary Flames. They'll be back at it tonight as they take on the Columbus Blue Jackets at Bridgestone Arena. So this game, a makeup game from one of the games we lost around Thanksgiving because of the water main break around Bridgestone Arena. So a back-to-back home set tonight for the Predators. And discussing the play of Juuso Parsonen and Cody Glass, two young forwards for the Predators that have played really well as of late, have been elevated in their roles. Parsonen getting a lot of time on the power play. Last night was generating offense with, you know, Cole Smith on one wing, had Colton Sissons on the other wing, and I thought Parsonen at times was maybe the best player on the ice for the Predators last night. So really encouraging stuff from the two young forwards that we've seen over the last little bit. And Joe, going back to like the big picture conversation of the Predators that we have so often, that's what you're going to have regardless of which way they move forward. If they keep things together and they're trying to, you know, squeak into the playoffs and trying to build on that, and they have no interest in rebuilding or anything like that anytime soon, you're going to need some younger guys to come in on the fly and to keep that window open. Conversely, like if you do eventually go the retool, rebuild route, whatever it needs, you need younger guys to accelerate that. And look, I'm not saying that I've seen enough from Cody Glass yet that makes me think that he's going to be like some franchise player that they drafted him to be back in Vegas with the 6th overall pick. But I do think, based on what we've seen from training camp until now, I think it's been a very encouraging step forward from Cody Glass from where he was certainly last year, but now to this point, even from the growth from October to now this year, I think it's pretty evident. Parsonen could end up being a diamond in the rough that they found. And if you factor in eventually, at some point, maybe the return of Philip Tomasino to the lineup, which I think is going to happen at some point this year. Maybe three younger guys at the forward position that maybe can do something for you as you move forward here if you're the Predators.
Yeah, I was gonna bring up Tomasino. I'm still interested in that and when that might happen and where he might fit in. I still feel like this lineup could still use more scoring, more skill for sure. But they need stories like this, of course. And it's funny because I feel like sometimes, you know, like with a Tolvanen, because of the hype, and I understand he's producing now.
Yep.
But I think because of the hype and the draft and all the things that preceded him coming here, I think there was a little bit of an inflated view relative to just what we saw from him on the ice. And again, if he just keeps this going, then I'm going to have to step back and say, man, I was just wrong, because eventually I was like, you know, there's just limitations with that guy. I think sometimes that can, you know, that can affect like how a player is perceived. And, you know, that's sort of the same thing with Glass, but it seems like right now we may be seeing Glass really starting to, like you said, illustrate why. I mean, you know, he's got size, he's a tremendous skater. Like you said, he just has a feel, and he makes some plays out there that are like, oh, whoa, that's not just your average run of the mill hockey play. Now that's, you know, you still got to be able to have the bread and butter, you know, and that's kind of what Hines talked about early this season when he was matching him up with some of the other top centermen, and he wasn't up to it. But now that he appears to sort of have that handled and be up to the task physically, everything else is coming out. And I don't know. I don't know where it might go. But I think when you think about it again, like you said, what was he supposed to be? It's easy to let your mind wander on maybe him being a really good player.
Yeah, it is. And look, I'll say this. He played last night with Forsberg and Duchesne, and I thought that line was really good the whole game. Yeah. And, you know, obviously he's a big part of that. If you're the centering that line, you know, anytime you're playing with Philip Forsberg, you'll probably take that as a centerman. But I just thought offensively some of the plays they were able to make last night, and you got to finish on them. I get that. But if they play the way they played last night, they're going to finish on a lot moving forward. And I thought it was really encouraging. Now, you bring up Elli Tolvanen. He had some interesting comments that came out in an interview with the Hockey News, and he talked about, you know, just his role with the Predators. He said, quote, "I always knew that I had the skill and all the details that they wanted, but, you know, I was just getting bottom six usage on the fourth line." Also said, quote, "Sometimes they wanted me to be the checker, then one night they wanted me to be the goal scorer." Elli Tolvanen on his role with the Predators, kind of talking about, I guess, some confusion and just not really knowing exactly what they wanted from him during his time here in Nashville, especially towards the end there. Now, keeping in mind that anytime a situation like this happens where somebody goes somewhere else, there's typically comments like this that are made. And I'm not saying that Elli Tolvanen is wrong by any stretch of the imagination. I just think it's important to keep that in mind when you discuss this. But nonetheless, some pretty interesting comments from Elli Tolvanen to the Hockey News about his role, or at least what he perceived his role and the communication of that role to be here in Nashville.
Yeah, like you said, this is not uncommon. I wouldn't call these, you know, scathing or damning or anything, but it's one of those things that you read it, you're like, okay, well, obviously he was a little frustrated. Not surprising. I think, and if there really was confusion about the role, I mean, that's on John Hines. I mean, like, you know, you got to be clear in communication. I feel like talking about Tolvanen and, you know, which happened so often in the last couple of years. I mean, gosh, it seems like they certainly, he discussed it enough with us that I can't, you know what I mean? I can't imagine that these things weren't discussed, but this is one of those things that, like, if Tolvanen just tears it up and maintains that, then we will look back at that. I mean, we'll look at those comments and we'll look back at just the losing of him. And it's, you know, it's not a good thing. And I think if he, again, if, and I'm still real skeptical about this, I think we saw what he is as a hockey player. He's got a great shot. And, you know, he's good enough to be in this league, you know, but I'm going to be really surprised if he maintains this and becomes like this, like consistent, like 20, 30 goal kind of guy. But if he does, then you'll have to look back and say, so what exactly, you know, why were the Preds not able to want to utilize what he had better? And then, you know, also, look, we talked to David Poile about, you know, about losing him. And I mean, again, I appreciate the frankness from Poile on that situation, but it, you know, others will agree. Like, I mean, that's a mistake if it works out that way. Still very early.
It's still very early, but, you know, talking about the young forwards, like if you if he works out, then all of a sudden maybe the conversation's a little bit different around here if you're the Predators. So, I mean, you're looking at it right now. And look, they've got a lot of younger forwards, right? I mean, Cole Smith's in the lineup right now. I mean, they've got a lot of younger guys out there, but dynamic playmakers. How many of those do they have? Like, how many dynamic guys do they have that are younger guys? Like, you know, Tanner Janot, he scored 24 last year, and it's been a struggle with him so far. I still think, like, I watched Tanner Janot play, and I'm like, man, that guy is huge, and he moves really well. Like, I still think at some point he's going to snap out of it a little bit offensively. I thought he did again last night. He was right there. That's the thing, like that Parsonen goal last night. He's right there on the doorstep. Janot's on the other side of the crease, just whacking away at it. And Parsonen's the one that gets to it and puts it in the net. And I'm like, geez, man. Guy just can't buy one right now. But, you know, they've got some good younger forwards. Trennan, you could put in that category, which, by the way, they have to make a decision on those two guys this offseason as to what they're going to do and how much money they're going to pay him. But, you know, if Cody Glass can come in, I think his upside's clearly higher than those two. Juuso Parsonen, I watch him play, and – I don't know. There's something about him that I really like beyond just the size and the skill. I think there's a little bit of edge there that I also like from Juuso Parsonen that I think I think we've seen come out at times, and I just think he's playing really well right now, really, really well.
Yeah, no, he seems to have tremendous confidence and be very got a little edge, tough, kind of unaffected. Just a big bruising player. I mean, it's a great addition. And look, I mean, you were talking about him during camp. You know, you just never know. Sometimes it's like those guys in camp can, you know, can look a certain way. And then it's like, yeah, still a year or sometimes more away, or it doesn't quite pan out at this level. But I mean, even thinking about what Hines was saying about him before the season, you could kind of tell they were excited. I feel like Tomasino has that dynamic skill set that could help this team, but I don't know. At this point, it's just okay. Let's see what happens. I mean, like last night, they were around the net a lot, just like you were describing there. I thought that they were in those hard areas a lot, and they just weren't rewarded. Of course, you know, probably just because I picked Matt Duchene. I mean, I feel like he had several great opportunities just didn't quite go in, but that's how, you know, they need to play like that. But there's still, you know, they got two goals, and you know, like ultimately this team needs more offense. So I would think that they would look to add more at some point, but I don't know. You tell me where does he fit and what triggers him coming up here?
Well, I mean, right now,
or whatever.
Right now, he's on a heater down there in Milwaukee, and he's scoring left and right. So, I mean, I would have to think at some point pretty soon he's coming up, but I've been saying that for 43 games at this point. So, couldn't tell you. Well, I guess we'll find out. By the way, we'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poile coming up at 8:30 today. So, looking forward to that conversation with him.
I'll ask him.
Yeah, maybe we will. Coming up at 8:30 today. Here on the program. Coming up next, we'll get into a wild game last night on Monday Night Football between the Cowboys and the Bucks, and really the only wild part about it was why couldn't they kick an extra point after the touchdowns that Dallas scored last night? What does it all mean for Dallas, and what does it mean for the future of Tom Brady after the Buccaneers were eliminated last night in the playoffs? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. What a night last night for the Dallas Cowboys. They go down to Tampa Bay. They win 31-14 for their first road playoff win since 1992, which is pretty hard to believe, but they get it last night, their first road playoff win since 1992. Dak Prescott, Joe, was excellent last night. 25 of 33, four touchdown passes for Dak, and they win 31-14. The lone spot for the Cowboys where you were shaking your head last night was the performance trying to kick an extra point last night. You know, obviously I had never seen anything like that, and it looks like nobody else has either. Four missed extra points last night for the Dallas Cowboys after the touchdown. Now, granted, The good news for the kicking game for Dallas is it was 31-14, so the game wasn't close, and you get the blowout win on the road, and now you move on and you try to go take down the 49ers next week. But that was wild last night watching them miss four extra points. And I don't know if you saw this clip, but like Peyton Manning on the Manning cast last night when he missed the third one, it was hilarious. Like it was hilarious to watch last night.
I mean, obviously we're both at the Preds, so I'm just streaming with no sound on the phone and just like, wait, did I see that right? Is that another? Is it? It's 18-0. That's three. Yeah. So I've missed all the reaction. I mean, I haven't even seen. I assume that's an NFL record.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, man. Wild. I know that I saw the reaction too when he made the, was it, I guess the fifth one? He made the fifth one, right? Yeah. After the, yeah. And it was,
way to go, buddy.
A lot of excitement. A lot of excitement for an extra point. But yeah. What does that mean moving forward? That could be real costly. Cause I'll tell you what, you take that away and, the Cowboys looked like a dangerous team,
yeah,
for sure. They are, you know, they've got a very talented defense. And like you said, Dak was really good, you know, just breaking the pocket when he needed to, keeping his eyes downfield, huge plays, a lot of big third down passes. And then, you know, they're running the ball. And they just absolutely kicked the crap out of Tampa Bay. I mean, it's, I know because Brady's on the team, you know, it's like, I guess that'd still be like the public choice for someone to come out of that awful division. But you think about some of the games that they won that they shouldn't have won, like against the Saints, Falcons, and Panthers. And that's just not even – that's just not a playoff team.
No.
You know? They're just a bad football team. So I guess at least we got rid of them. And we've got a great weekend ahead. But that's – to me, that is a pressure reliever because a lot of people were thinking, no, watch out, the GOAT, you know, and on the road – at night. And I think now there's a little less pressure on them. And I'm really intrigued by this Cowboys-Niners game.
Well, it's a heck of a performance by Dak Prescott. I mean, obviously you get the win, so I think we can officially put the Mike McCarthy stuff to bed now, because that was a heck of a performance last night by the Cowboys. And like you said, I mean, the divisional round is pretty awesome. I mean, you've got the Cowboys and the 49ers, which I think has a chance to be a really good game. The Giants and the Eagles, I'm less convinced has a chance to be a good game, but if the Giants play the way they did this past weekend, you never know. I mean, Daniel Jones is really good, so, you know, you got a divisional matchup there in the divisional round. And then the AFC, Bills and Bengals, which I think everybody's excited about, and then Chiefs and Jaguars. I mean, people talk about this a lot, Joe, but this, I think, pretty much on a yearly basis, a lot of times winds up being the best weekend of football in the NFL is the divisional round. And I'm pretty excited about this one coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, you know, the Sweet 16, although I think the second round's the best round, but the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, you know, you got just a lot of really good games, a lot of the best teams. I hope the Jaguars can give us a game. I think this would be a perfect weekend if we had Chargers going in there. You know, if you had Justin Herbert, yep, Mahomes in that game, that would be just in terms of the excitement level going to a game. But hey,
you'll get fired up by Duval.
I'm not counting them out. I mean, the heck of a comeback from just absolutely getting blown out in that game. By the way, just real, did you see the Joey Bosa stuff?
Oh yeah,
with the officials.
Yeah, I did.
My God. I mean, I get the frustration, but man, those bosses, man. Whew. It's like they're not. First of all, I'll be interested to see the fine he gets, because I think it will probably be pretty significant.
But yeah.
The world doesn't revolve around you, Joey Bosa.
It's a good point.
I need to find the video.
It revolves around Nick Bosa.
Yes, yes, it does, who is still alive and in the playoffs. So.
Yeah, check it out, Michelle. It's, yeah. It's he does not hold back.
He does not hold back. There is no question about that. And now, in the aftermath of the game last night, Joe, the question is, what is next for Tom Brady? And first off, I know the first thing that's next for Tom Brady hopefully an ice bath. He threw 66 pass attempts last night. So it's a heck of a lot of passing attempts last night for Tom Brady. But obviously, I mean, they mustered up 14 points. It was a game that they just couldn't get anything going offensively. And now you wonder what his future looks like. Is it retirement? Is he done? Does he call it a career and go start his next career with Fox and making a ton of money, $35 million a year, whatever it would be, to commentate on football games with Fox? Or does he look around in free agency and decide to go somewhere else? I don't know. I mean, he basically ended his press conference last night by, you know, thanking Tampa Bay and the organization and how much he loves media. The organization and the media and respected, you know, all that stuff, and said that he was going to take it day by day, was the quote, as it relates to his future. So really nothing behind the scenes that was really offered up last night by Tom Brady, but now we're officially in Brady watch with the game ending last night.
Yeah, and it's, boy, talk about a polarizing topic, Tom Brady moving forward. And within myself, I'm torn because he's 40 freaking six, man. Like, Ryan Clark.
Not yet, 45, 46 in August, Joe. Come on.
Oh, my bad. Ryan Clark, from ESPN, who I like his analysis a lot. I mean, he's, you know, sometimes I disagree with him, but his tweet from last night says this, quote, "Honestly, after watching tonight's game, who would want Tom Brady starting on their team next year?" End quote. And there are times I've thought the same thing this year. You know, I did the pregame with Max yesterday before the Preds game, so I was able to enjoy some Jared live.
Oh yeah.
And he was kind of going back and forth with people about Brady, and he, you know, cited all his numbers, and Brady had great numbers this year. Let's remember that the Bucs were often behind this year and were often – I mean, he threw it 66 times last night, as you said. He was often in a position of just having to throw. And sometimes he threw them back into games. I mean, he had some comebacks this year that were amazing. But also, like, that's a lot of throwing against soft zone coverage, giving you 10, 12 yards. I'm just saying some of those numbers are a little bit empty calories. Also, he had a bad team, though. And that's the other side of this is like, well, what do you expect the guy?
Did you just talk about empty calories with Tom Brady
this year with his numbers? Absolutely.
I'm just making a calorie joke. You missed it. We'll keep going.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, okay. That's a fair.
Sorry.
It's okay, Rex. Yeah. It's the 6 a.m. hour.
I should have thought about that. It's a bad team. So, I mean, it's still Tom Brady. I don't know, man. Look, I thought he was clearly declining 3 years ago, and he goes and just lights up the world and wins the Super Bowl the next year. But 46? Like, at some point, you're 46, man. I don't know. I know the way I feel at 50. And so I understand there's a slight difference in lifestyle.
Rex, we love you, but a little different.
A little different, but you know what? There are some things that, regardless of what you do, are inevitable. We are all decaying, okay? We are all rotting corpses. And
he's Benjamin Button.
I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't say he's getting better. He's still really good, but there's no doubt people are going to be after him. I'm hesitant after watching again last night. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but I thought that a lot this year.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, thanks for calling in. What's going on?
What's up, Mark? Good. Hey, buddy.
But the bet is real, though, Joe. It's true.
Man.
Thank you, Mark.
Incredible.
Yeah, y'all have a good day.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good day. All right.
You too, man. Now I feel like I feel responsible. Like I feel like I have to like really try hard to beat Jared now.
You do. It's on you. Plate's on you.
Real quick, by the way. Mark also must read my mind, because I was just going to say something about how about the freaking NFC East, which was the worst conference for, I don't know, how
long,
many years?
Long time.
3-4 years?
Oh, yeah.
And they got 75% of the divisional round.
It's pretty amazing. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text lines. We'll continue the discussion on Tom Brady's future coming up next. Could the Titans be involved in Tom Brady's future? More of your thoughts on that as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Caroline Fenton from Caroline, Willie, and D-Mays coming up at 7 o'clock. So looking forward to that conversation with her. Preds General Manager David Poyle joining us later in the show at 8:30. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matthew from Jolton on the text line says, if we get Brady, I'll be the first person in line to buy a jersey and season tickets. Fingus on the text line says, we already made the mistake of passing on Brady once. Let's not do that again. This is from Uncle Fingus on the text line, Joe Rex Road.
I mean, I think, like, seriously, like, Brady could be, you know, 64, and they'd still be like, oh, man, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, it's the GOAT. It's Brady. Again, I'm not saying he's not still good. He's still good, okay? But I also, when you talk about passing on him, we talked about this yesterday. I don't think Brady's going to pick the Titans. He's still going to be friends with Mike Vrabel if he doesn't, you know, pick the Titans. If the Titans are indeed interested in him, which, again, I just – like I said the other day, like, yeah, I mean, if Brady, then okay, that's one thing. And then I watched last night, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, at some point, like, you fall apart. You're about to be 46. I'm just going to keep saying it. 40 freaking 6. Like, George Blanda was still in the league, but he was, like, just a kicker, and he was making extra points and smoking cigarettes on the sideline. Like, legitimately smoking cigarettes on the sideline.
Yeah. I hear you. I mean, well, first off, this entire conversation depends on a couple of things. Number one, what does Tom Brady want to do? Does he want to retire? Does he want to go somewhere else? And we talked yesterday about the different landing spots that, to me, make a whole lot more sense than the Tennessee Titans do. So, I mean, we're talking, in my opinion, about a very remote chance of this happening anyway. But secondly, what direction are the Titans going? Like, are the Titans trying to be as competitive as humanly possible next year? Are they trying to get back to competing for a Super Bowl? If they are, then great. How do you go about doing that? How do you rebuild the offensive line, the receiving core, all those different things that we talk about, regardless of who the quarterback is? But if they are, then yeah, I'd consider it. Like, I would take Tom Brady right now over Ryan Tannehill. I would. Am I crazy because he's 46? Maybe. But I would. I would take Tom Brady right now over Ryan Tannehill. And that doesn't change to me, even based on what I saw last night. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that if Brady's going to continue to play, it'll be somewhere else where he feels like he's got a better chance to win a Super Bowl. But a lot of this depends on not only what Brady wants to do as he moves forward, but what do the Titans want to do? Like, are they willing to run it back to the point where they would consider dumping Ryan Tannehill and the salary that comes with it, which, as we pointed out, Joe, is doable this year, certainly more doable than it was a year ago, but it's not necessarily cheap to do. I mean, you're talking about almost $18 million in dead money if you move on from Ryan Tannehill. Are they willing to do that to go get somebody like Tom Brady? Maybe they are, but I don't think it's something that you can just automatically assume about the Titans.
No, no. Well, and of course they could possibly trade him, and then it would be less painful, of course, you know, and maybe that's possible too. And look, I can't sit here and argue with you and say, no, I would take Tannehill over Tom Brady. I can't make that argument. I wouldn't make that argument, but you know, again, I've thought quite a bit this year that, I mean, even last night, Man, I know maybe some of it's communication or whatever here and there, but he missed some throws
he
that
did.
were just like, man, how do you miss that throw? How do you make that decision to throw that pick in the end zone? But I can't sit here and say, no way, man, I'd take Tannehill. I do think that some of it also is, are we talking about just like 1 year? You know, 1 year, you do everything you can, and this is it, because this is like, you know, technically Tannehill's last deal. Or is there some thought about, like, could Ryan Tannehill get another deal and be here for the next few years? Like, if, you know, and that's the thing. It's so hard to plan for your next quarterback if you're going to do everything you can to compete next year, which I think is what they're going to do. So if that's the case, then I think about it a little bit differently. Like, because I'm sorry, but like, Brady's not going to be your quarterback when he's 48, man. Right?
Probably not.
So now Tannehill could be a similar level of quarterback as he is now for the next 4 or 5 years, potentially, right?
Eh, that's
not
pushing it to me.
Okay, well, okay. So Brady's just a cyborg.
I feel
like quarterbacks in general. Yeah, but I feel like quarterbacks, I mean, he's not the only quarterback who, you know, is kind of pushing the timeline a little bit. I mean, even your guy. I feel like he's still got his fastball. I feel like he's got his fastball more than Brady does, even though the team was bad this year. I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, but you're talking about two of probably the top five quarterbacks to ever play the game in those two. Ryan Tannehill's
well, no,
not
I know.
That.
Oh, no, no. I'm not saying he is. I am saying, though, that I feel like we are seeing more quarterbacks who are able to play pretty well into the late 30s.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, Tannehill right now is – what the heck is Tannehill right now? Tannehill
34,
right
isn't
he? Now, was he 36? Is he 34? Yeah. Yeah, 34 or 35. I mean, even if it's like, okay, three-year plan, and I know it's hard to do in the NFL, it really is like a one-year plan each year, but still, you got to have this general direction. Yeah, he's 34. And if it's not like, okay, you know, one shot here and then, you know, we'll see. If it's like, okay, who can be like a quarterback for this team and build around it, be great around a quarterback, and you feel like the quarterback could win, well, then, I mean, I think Tannehill could, I mean, takes care of himself and all that stuff. Now, he did have the injury this year.
Yeah.
He hadn't had any injuries, and that's a little bit of a concern because he did have injuries with Miami, knee and shoulder, but that's obviously more of a long-term solution. And then again, you can come back around to it again. If you want to talk about Tannehill Brady, well, gee, it's not even close when it comes to what have you demonstrated when the pressure's high in January, right?
Right.
And we still have the most recent example of that from Tannehill to scare you away from him. So, but I like it's, if there's actually a movement for Brady, whenever they're going to do him, then it has to be like, it's 1 year, right? It's 1 year to try to get there. And that's that. And, again, and then we talk all this stuff and come back around to, I don't think he's going to be interested in the Tennessee Titans.
Well, right now, why would he? I mean, there would need to be a plan communicated of several different steps. Like, we got somebody on the text line that says, the Titans offensive line would get Brady killed. Who's he going to throw to? Like, those are two great questions that you got to get figured out. Regardless of who the quarterback is next year, the offensive line for sure has to be fixed, and you got to find some better receivers to throw the ball to. Like, right now, as presently constructed, I can't think of one reason other than he likes Mike Vrabel, why Tom Brady would be here, based on the way this roster is currently set up.
Yeah. No, I mean, because he'll ask the exact same question. LD from Minville says, truth serum time. Does running it back with Tannehill with offensive improvements get you a championship? I don't know. I mean, Tannehill still has a lot to prove, like we just talked about, in those moments. The improvements would have to be severe. Again, we're sitting here, maybe Brock Purdy is the next Tom Brady. And he's the next, like, low pick who actually was an incredible find. Or maybe, like, he's fine and the Niners are so good that they are a championship contender.
Yep. You know?
But that's an example of, like Tannehill with the right situation, I think, is good enough. But then you still get into that last performance. How do you get that out of your mind?
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Bill from Mount Juliet. Bill, thanks for calling in.
Morning, guys. Hey, Bosa's right, man. The refs are terrible. They've been terrible all year long. They got a bunch of older dudes that can't see as good as they used to, can't run as good as they used to, trying to keep up with the best athletes in the world, and they're making terrible calls, and it's impacting the results of these games. It's bull crap. They need to get some full-time refs. I don't know about you guys, but I'm in my late 40s, and my vision isn't as great. My speed is daggum sure isn't as great. They need to get some guys out there that know what the hell they're doing and quit blowing these games.
Hey, thanks for the call, Bill. Look, we talked about that a lot yesterday. I agree that there are some calls getting blown. Now, if you watch Joey Bosa go absolutely nuts on the sideline, there is a little bit of personal responsibility that probably needs to take place, which, to his credit, he did talk about at the beginning of part of his rant. But, yeah, there's no question. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, Joe. They got to get this officiating problem fixed.
Yeah, it is bad. No, I mean, like, I totally get the frustration, and some of the misses are just it just makes no sense at all. Like there's the call yesterday went nuts about, which is still like not nearly enough people are going nuts about the push in the back to just give someone a touchdown who wasn't going to get a touchdown, but like the false starts and stuff are just, I mean, that's anybody can see that, you know, that has nothing to do with like get in position to see a play. You're all standing there. I mean, come on.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans, the GM search, and her thoughts on whether or not Tom Brady should be something the Titans pursue this offseason. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.